Rich kind of, he took a lot of what I was going to say at the Lord's Supper table, so I'm just going to offer the invitation, and no, I'm kidding. No, Rich and I must have been on the same wavelength this morning. And I know that a lot of us, around this time of the season, we think about gifts. How many of you have finished your Christmas shopping? Jared, you don't do it. Do you do any Christmas? How many do you buy? One? Oh, she's done. Oh, okay. Gotcha. For a lot of people, it's not only the joy of the season receiving gifts, it's also the headache of the season going and buying gifts, right? And trying to figure out what to buy people. Are there people on your list that you just don't know what to get them? They've got everything already. You know, I think my grandparents were that way. You know, what do you buy a grandparent? I mean, you go to their house, they have every trinket known to man. They have you know, everything. You just don't want to buy your grandparents' clothes. I mean, you know, what do you buy them, you know? So it's the joy of the season in some ways, but it is it's the headache of the season in other ways. I want you to go transport yourself back to when you were a child or when you were younger. For some of you, that's not that difficult. Okay, Casey, just stay where you are, okay? For some of you, it's not that difficult. And I want you to think, okay, this is the first thing that pops into your head when I say this, and this is what I want. I'm going to ask some of you if you wouldn't mind sharing with us today. What's the greatest or the best Christmas gift you ever received? See, if we think about it as adults, we think a little bit more logically about it, right? We may, my children, you know, or, you know, we'll think of something. I want you to go back to your childhood, and I want you to think about the greatest Christmas gift you ever received. I'll share with you mine, and I want it to be like the one thing that pops into your head, because there's a lot of gifts that we receive we don't remember, right? Lots and lots of things that we got, because most of us were so spoiled that we get piles of gifts every year. We remember sometimes the bad gifts, right? Because we laugh about them and we joke about them. But I want you to think about that gift that pops into your head, that present that you received. Maybe it was from your parents, or maybe it was from your grandparents. Maybe it was from old Saint Nick on Christmas morning. When I think about the greatest gift that I ever received, this is what I think about. Really two, but when the first one that pops into my head, the most excited I think I ever was on Christmas morning, was when I was in high school, and I was younger high school, and I was really into music, in the band. And I was playing this piece of junk trumpet, okay, that had been handed down through five generations of my family or something. I don't know. It was not a good trumpet. And I was kind of really getting into it. And I remember waking up one Christmas morning, I had asked for a new trumpet. And I woke up, and there it was. Shiny, new, silver Bach trumpet. And that was a very precious gift to me, because I knew, number one, I knew how much it cost. And I knew that it was a great sacrifice for me to receive that gift. What is it in you? What is it, a gift that you remember that you think about when it's, think about the greatest gift you received? Jared's shaking his head, so he's got something, I know. Super Nintendo. All right, why is it such a great memory? Okay? You still have it. Okay? The old Nintendo. Oh, Super Nintendo. So it's like third generation, I guess. Okay, third generation. Okay, I'm surprised this worked that long, right? Okay, all right. Anybody else want to share?
Thank you.
Okay? Anybody else? One of you people that are a little, one of you little older people, tell us something that you remember as a gift. I wasn't looking at you, Jeff. I was thinking of you, but I wasn't looking at you. A big wheel. Yeah, there we go. I bet you were pretty dangerous on that big wheel, weren't you? Anyone else? Come on, share with us. Anybody else? Fun. I'm pretty sure that all of us had something to pop into our head. And even though, you know, we don't have time for everyone to share, I could go in and make you, I could point to you and tell you. But that gift, that special gift that comes to our mind, some people still have those gifts. I remember that trumpet that I had. I played it all the way until I was like a junior in college. And we were in pep band, and we were up in the stands at the basketball game, and we were going on break, and everybody put their horns on, and some guy stepped on mine. He tripped. It was not his fault. He tripped and he went crush. And although we sort of fixed it, it was never the same. And so, you know, I was able to get another one in college. Actually, that was a Christmas gift as well. But we think about these gifts. Why was it so special? Why is it something that stands out into our mind? And Jared and Chris and some of you have already said the answers that I have written down. First of all, is our desire for it. The anticipation of something that I really want. And when that comes to fulfillment, and whether you wake up and you go in front of the tree and it's already there, you know, how whatever your Christmas tradition is, or whether Santa wraps your gifts and leaves them under the tree, or whether it's from your parents on Christmas Eve, or for whatever it is, your anticipation for it, and when you see it, you're so excited about it. Second thing is the inability to provide that gift for ourselves. As a kid, Chris couldn't just go out and buy himself an electric train. What money did he have to do it with, right? I guess he could have gone out and mowed yards or something in order to get it. But our inability to provide it for ourselves is one reason that it sticks out in our mind and it's so exciting. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a massively very expensive gift, which is something I would not have bought, I could not have gotten for myself. Third, sometimes we think about the sacrifice that whoever bought that for me gave in order to give it. I knew full well that my parents, as school teachers, didn't have just $2,000 laying around. You know, just it took a real sacrifice for them. And then the last one is the enjoyment that you receive from it. Not just from that day, but from even Jared is still receiving enjoyment from that gift that he remembers. Chris, you still play with your electric train, or is it? No? Probably got broken with three boys around the house. I don't imagine it lasted very long. But we received such enjoyment from it. Now I want to flip it. And I don't know that we don't necessarily have to get responses, but I want you to think about this. What is the greatest gift that you've ever given? Think about it on the flip side. And this is probably more for us who are a little older. I know kids give gifts to other kids, but you think about it from the side of a parent. Christmas sort of takes on a different perspective, doesn't it? You used to be in it for, what's under the tree? Let me shake all my presents. Oh, I can't wait to, you know. Then it's what? I can't wait to see them open the presents. I can't wait for them to experience what I've given them, something that they desire. The greatest gift that you've ever given anyone else. Why do we enjoy giving? The enjoyment received by the recipient. Just seeing the look in their eyes and knowing they're excited about something that you did for them. The satisfaction of fulfilling a need. I'll tell you something that just happened this week. Wednesday night. We had a lady come to church on Wednesday night and brought her granddaughter, who our granddaughter had attended here for a long time. And then her family moved to Texas, and now the granddaughter is back living with her grandmother. And I sat down in the office downstairs. I'd never met the lady before. And listened to the lady pour out her heart about all her struggles that she's going through. That she's got a son who's just found out he has HIV. And that she is struggling with her finances. She has a father who she's just had to put in a nursing home. And she continued, and she continued, and she continued. And I said, well, Miss Connie, what is it that we can do for you? And she said, we don't have any food. We don't have any food in our home. And so, went to Johnny and I said, hey, we got a few extra dollars in the budget to where I know it's not budgeted, but can we go buy them a gift card to Walmart? So they can go buy them some groceries. And so I went to, and I actually had the granddaughter with me. She stayed after church, and I took her home. And we went to Walmart. It was an amazing thing because I've done this with a lot of kids. You go to Walmart, but you know, you go and it's like, anything that you really want, do you want, you know, a box of cereal, or do you want to, some candy bars, you just asking them, and at Walmart, you know, every aisle is it's just like a smorgasbord of great stuff. No, Mr. Dave, I'm okay. No, Mr. Dave, we're good. I'm good. The entire store. Because, of course, I went and got some milk. Where do they put the milk? All the way in the back, through all the good stuff, right? And that's on purpose, by the way, right? The bread is like way over on the other side, right? So, And we got up to the counter, and she said, Mr. Dave, can I get a pack of gum? So we bought the gift card, and I took it, and I took her home, and she said, I'll take it in, and I'll just take the milk. And she turned back around, and she said, Mr. Dave, thank you. And I felt awesome. It felt awesome. Why? Fulfilling something that they needed, right? Giving a gift, something that a person needs. The last thing is the response that you receive. The love and the gratitude that you receive from someone else. You know, thank you, the hug or the kiss, or just the response of whatever it is. I want to talk for just a second about our response to the greatest gift ever given. And this gift is described in Ephesians chapter 2. It's described in a lot of places. How many times in the New Testament is Jesus' sacrifice or what Jesus has done for us described as a gift. I don't think that's an accident. See, gifts are something we get. Gifts are something we understand. That word is something that I totally get. And it's described again and again as a gift. And not just a gift, but what? A free gift, or a gift that's given freely and openly. He says this in verse, 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Then in verse 11 he says, remember that you were once Gentiles who are called uncircumcised by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace. Sometimes we think of the gift as the grace that God gives. But He's very specific that grace is given through a person of Jesus Christ. So it's Jesus who's the gift. We honor and we give homage to the birth of Christ during this time of the year. That God would send His own Son into this world, that gift then could give us the benefit of being a son of God. But how does the world often receive this gift? First, the first idea is that sometimes we reject it altogether. You ever gotten a gift you really hated? Anybody gotten a gift you hated? You can admit it. They're not here, you don't have to tell them. A sweater from your grandmother, that's just the most hideous thing you've ever... Everybody's gotten a bad grandmother sweater, I know. Okay? My grandmother used to get me and my brother and my cousins, my two male cousins, who are like my brothers, the guys that are in common bond, she used to get us the same shirts. My grandmother did not have good taste in shirts. My grandmother Vera did not have good taste in shirts. And so she would go to this outlet store and she would buy us these flannel or these striped or whatever shirts. And they were the same shirt, but just a different color. And then she wanted us to wear them together. And so we would always just like, we would put them on and we'd go out there and be like, can we take them off now? You know? Or one of her other gifts that she gave, I hate to pick on her, but was this cologne. That was the most awful smelling cologne of all time. I think it was a British Sterling or something like that. It's what you buy at like the cheap like Walgreens or something, you know? It's like at the front shelf, it's like this gift pack type thing, you know? And we would all get one of those. And so we all had a stack at home of like six of those that we never opened because they're just awful smelling. But you can tell the look on somebody's face when they don't like what you're giving them, right? And that's not a good feeling for the person giving it. But some people just, when it comes to Jesus Christ in this world, they just reject it altogether. Think about the Jews, the Jewish leaders. They have been anticipating the gift of the Messiah for centuries. And He finally came, and what did they do? They rejected the gift. Why did they reject the gift? It wasn't really what they wanted. It wasn't really what they expected. This isn't the King that we want. This isn't the Messiah that we've asked for. This isn't what we've looked forward to. And so they just reject the gift altogether. That rejection still takes place in this world. How many people have you talked to about Jesus in your life and they're like, no thanks. I don't need that. I don't want that. I don't have any need of that in my life. And so the rejection of the gift. Secondly, sometimes we accept the gift, but we don't feel worthy of the gift. And so we place it up on a shelf in a place of prominence, and we never use it. We never touch it. People buy these little trinkets all the time, right? Do they really have any use? I mean, you just put them on a shelf and they draw dust or whatever. But there are things that we get that we don't really use. We put them on a shelf or we put them in the closet and we never touch them. And maybe it's because we don't feel worthy of the gift. And I think sometimes that's the case. That people in the world, they see Jesus, they see what God's done for them, and yet they say, well, I accept the gift of Jesus, but I don't really know what to do with it. I don't know what its purpose is, what He's supposed to do with me in my life. I'm so awful. What good is Jesus going to do in my life? The third thing is this. Sometimes we accept the gift joyfully, but then we totally forget about it. How often does that happen? If you go from Christmas to Christmas and you ask somebody, hey, what'd you get last year? What's most people's response? Even kids who are so excited about the gifts they get. They wanted this thing. That's all they talked about all year long. You say, hey, where is that thing you got last year? Where is that baby doll, Casey, that you asked for? Oh, well, I tore the head off. And no, it's, I really don't know where it is. It's in the bin with all the baby dolls I get every Christmas, and I get a new one every Christmas. It loses significance. Sometimes that's the case in our own lives with Jesus Christ. We've accepted the gift of Jesus in our life, but sometimes we allow him to lose significance over the course of our life. The last thing is this. It can become a vital part of our life. I'm so glad Jared brought up that brought up his example, because is it a vital part of his life? I mean, does he? Yeah, pretty much in it. Yeah. And he shares it. And he shares it with others. That's good. Okay, good. Jesus Christ is a gift that was meant to be used. He was meant to be put into our life and make a difference in who we are on a day-to-day basis. That's the type of gift that has been given. Unfortunately, that's not always the case with us, with people in the world. We see the gift, we appreciate the gift, but we don't actually ever use it to its full potential. Now I want to flip it for just a second. I want us to think about the giver of the gift for a second. Imagine the pain in God's eyes at the rejection of the gift that He's given. You look at our world, I mean, most people either have rejected Jesus or have placed Him on a shelf or He has lost significance in their life. Think about what God has gone through. We've been studying the Old Testament in our Bible classes at school. And you think about the intricate detail of the plan that God has put together over the course of the last few thousand years to bring Jesus into the world. Think about how hard it is for us as a giver to, you know, we have to go online and we have to order and we have to go shopping. I mean, pales in comparison to what God has done in preparation to bring Jesus into this world. And yet when we get the gift, when Jesus is offered to many people, just imagine the pain of rejection that God must feel. But also like us, when we give gifts, imagine the joy of God when people accept Jesus. One acceptance can take away the pain of how many rejections? I heard a story recently about, I actually heard it several different times, but I kind of heard a different take on it. About a young man who was a high school senior. I don't think this is a true story, but young man who was a high school senior who, around Christmas time, his father had asked him, you know, what be thinking about what you want for Christmas, be thinking about. Well, he really wanted this car. He really wanted a car. And his dad was well off. And his dad could afford to buy him this car. He knew it. And so for several months leading up to Christmas, that's all he talked about. You know, he talked about this car. He talked about the, you know, how great it was and how big a difference it would make in his life. He was going off to college in a few months after that, and he needed a car to get to college. And he just over and over and over. And so Christmas came, and the young man was so excited because he knew that his dad was going to get him a car. He comes down on Christmas morning, and there is a box. It's not a very big box, so obviously the car's not in it. So he thought, you know, probably just got the keys in it. It's probably got, I know this is what I, and so he opens the box, and inside he finds a Bible. He is so angry. He is angry. And as he thinks about it, he just thinks, what gall. My dad, who could afford a car, gives me a Bible for Christmas. Didn't he know what I wanted? Why would he do this to me? And he got real angry and he got real bitter. And really, from that point on until his graduation, he pretty much just, he kind of lost relationship with his dad. He was just fed up. My dad's so selfish, and my dad, all he wants to do. After his graduation, he went off to college and never came home. He didn't come home for vacations. He didn't come home for holidays. He didn't come home during the summer. He got jobs, and he moved to the other side of the country, got a good job. And he got to thinking about his relationship with his dad. He said, you know, maybe I was too hard on him. His dad was old and his dad was sick. And he said, I need to go home and I need to apologize to my dad. But before he could get home, his dad passed away. And so as he's going home, he goes home for the funeral. He goes home to make the arrangements. He finds out that he has received everything that his dad has. He's received the inheritance of his dad. And he goes home and he's going through his dad's office, and sitting on his dad's desk is that Bible. Never been opened. Never been touched. And he thinks, you know, maybe this is something that I need to read. Maybe this is something I need to think about. And as he opens the Bible, out falls a key. He turns to the page where that key was, and he sees the title to a brand new car. And he wonders, why didn't I ask my dad about this? Why didn't my dad tell me this? The car had been paid for, and it was in his name. And he didn't even know it. And it was so many years later. The application is this, and it's pretty obvious. God has given us everything. He's given us everything we could possibly want or need. But it all comes through this. It's all in Jesus. And if I have Jesus, I mean, if I don't have Jesus, then I have nothing. Whether I have all of the world's goods, whether I have everything that I've ever wanted in this life, and I don't have Jesus, I have nothing. And so the question for us today is, how have you received the gift that has been given? How do I continue to receive it? Because it's like the old saying, it's the gift that continues, that always gives. That's truly what Jesus is. How have I accepted the gift in my life? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for the gift of Jesus Christ in our lives. I thank you so much, Father, for all that you have blessed us with. And I pray that we will not get caught up in the things of this world, that we will be so concerned with the gifts and the possessions of this earth that we forget that all spiritual blessings come through you and your Son, Jesus. Father, I pray that you would help us to, during this time of the season, this time of the year especially, Father, that you would help us to take opportunities to share this gift with those around us, its significance in our lives, what it really means, and that this season is more than just giving presents to each other, but giving the love of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. If you have a specific need today, you know, we're a family. And I don't know that many places could even do like this. But we feel comfortable with each other to be able to share our thoughts and our feelings with each other. And if there's something that you need to share, something that's on your heart, then I encourage you to share that with us today, or you can share it with me and I'll share it with everyone else. If there's something specifically that you're struggling with or something that you need today, I pray that you'll come forward as we stand and sing this song.